If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. On this 20th of October, 1974, it is our joy to once again greet you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Never before have we rejoiced more in the Lord than we're rejoicing during the days of October. In fact, the last 5 months have been the greatest 5 months in the history of Worth Baptist Church. During this five-month period, we have had more people to attend Sunday school and more people to attend the worship services and a greater spirit of unity and oneness and rejoicing and revival and more people added to our church than in any five-month period in our 20-year history. So you can see why we're happy today in the Lord, rejoicing in all the good things that God is doing for us during this fall season. Next Sunday, 1 week from today, is our annual Roundup Day. Our Sunday school goal is 650. We believe we'll not only reach it, but go far beyond it next week. Let me give you a personal invitation now to plan to attend Sunday school at Worth Baptist Church next Sunday, October 27th, which is our annual Roundup Day. We're looking forward to many wonderful blessings and great things in the Lord 1 week from today, Sunday, October 27th, which is our Roundup Day. In the meantime, today, we would be happy to have you come and visit our Sunday school and our services of worship. Our Sunday school hour begins at 10 o'clock. Our Sunday school theme for this year is this: nothing is impossible with God. We're claiming that verse. We're claiming that promise. We are believing God's word. And we are trusting Him to do things far above what we could ask or think during these days. We have only one textbook, and that's the Bible, the Word of God, which is taught in classes for all ages, for every age and grade level, and for every member of your family. So bring the whole family today, and they'll be taught the Word of God in the Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock here at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour at 7. These services have all been planned with your spiritual needs in mind. They are designed by the help of the Lord to meet your individual needs in the spiritual realm today. So we invite you to come and share the good blessings of God with us in the Sunday school hour and in all the services of worship today at Worth Baptist Church. We are located at 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Recently, we have purchased a new plot of ground, 14 acres of ground, near the Fort Worth State School. It's located just 1/2 mile north of 820 on Campus Drive and one of the best locations in Tarrant County. And we're looking forward to moving in that direction. And we would covet your prayers as God leads step by step as we plan and prepare for that great move. In the meantime, once again, right here at our present location, 3309 Wilbarger Street, we invite you to attend. The month of October is designated as Radio Anniversary Month. The first Sunday of this month, we celebrated our 5th anniversary broadcasting the gospel on this station. As we enter the 6th year, we covet your prayers that God would use this ministry to win many souls to Christ. The only objective of Worth Baptist Hour is to voice the gospel of redeeming grace. We invite your cards and letters, and we ask that if you write in the month of October, which is Radio Anniversary Month, we will send you free and postage paid one of my books of sermons entitled, Look Up, Christian, Christ is Coming. That book of 7 sermons on the second coming of Christ can be yours, free and postage paid, simply by writing this month. All you need to do is write and request it. And write to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And again, we remind you, if you would like to receive one or any of the cassette tapes of the broadcast of Worth Baptist Hour, please write and inquire as to how you can receive them. Again, our mailing address is Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, How to Be Happy in the Abundant Life. I'm going to read to you some words of Jesus today from the Gospel according to John chapter 10 at verse 10. But before we read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we truly thank Thee for this Lord's Day, for the opportunity to preach the gospel, for the opportunity to tell out the good news of the redeeming grace of our Lord Jesus. And now we pray that as the broadcast fills the air, the Holy Spirit would direct it to the hearts where it is most needed today, some who are despondent and some who are unhappy and some who are discouraged and some who are in the depths of despondency. We pray, dear Lord, today that this message by the Holy Spirit would lift them up and help them to get a new outlook, even the uplook in these dark and trying days in which we live. And we would pray for our friends, dear Lord, who are shut in, who are in the hospitals and in their homes, in the rest homes, or wherever they are. Some of our friends who are driving across the city. Some who are in the motels or hotels or places of business today. Wherever this broadcast reaches, may the Holy Spirit use it to thrill the hearts of people and to turn them by faith toward Jesus Christ to know more of how they can be happy in the abundant life. This is our prayer. And these are our petitions, and we ask them all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and for His sake, and with thanksgiving, amen. And now in the Gospel according to John, chapter 10, at verse 10, Jesus said, The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it, more abundantly, and that they might have it more abundantly. How to be happy in the abundant life. My wife and I entered a local restaurant some months ago, and we were met by what seemed to be an over-anxious host. To us, he said, Would you like to join us in our happy hour? To which my wife answered, No thanks. We are already happy. You know, the thing that people are looking for more than anything else in the world today, the one thing is happiness. Men will drive hundreds of miles on the weekend to find happiness. They will spend hundreds and thousands of dollars every day and all week long and throughout the year just trying to find happiness. But the problem, my friend, is this. Many people are looking at the wrong places. They're looking toward the wrong people. They're looking toward the wrong things and the wrong ideas and philosophies in life to find happiness. I've come to tell you today that the only source of true happiness is the right relationship with Jesus Christ. I want to share with you several thoughts today concerning the topic, How to Be Happy in the Abundant Life. In the first place, I would say to you that happiness is determined by the attitude you adopt in life. Someone has observed that one's attitude in life is determined largely by one's altitude. That is, it's not so much the outlook in life as it is the uplook. With your eyes on Christ, you can be happy today. What is an attitude? An attitude is a tendency to act favorably or unfavorably toward persons, objects, or situations. I read an interesting story of the woman who was addressing a large woman's club. She was introduced as a woman with a radiant personality and one who enjoyed an abundant life. Would you like to guess what her topic was? Here it is. Her topic was this, How My Life Was Changed by a Tramp. And she told the story. One morning she was washing dishes, and there came a knock at her kitchen door. When she answered the door, lo and behold, there was a tramp standing there. Taking off his hat and bowing politely, he said, "Madam, I'm ashamed to beg, but I've searched for work and have been unable to find it. Would you please let me work for you in order to have some breakfast today?" And the woman says, "You know, I just turned on him, and I told him in no uncertain terms and in impolite tones and bitter tones that I had no time for tramps. I worked for my money. They could work for theirs. Get away." When she ordered the man to leave her house, he simply stood there. And finally, she said to him, "If you don't leave, I'm going to call my husband." And the tramp looked at her and said, "Madam, your husband is not at home." This startled the woman. And she said, "I said to him, 'But how did you know my husband was not at home?'" And I think his answer was a classic. Here's what he said: "Madam, if your husband is at home, it's because he's sick. He would not stay home with you unless he was sick." Then he turned and walked slowly away. The woman said, "I closed the door. I leaned against it. I could not finish washing the dishes. I thought how I had scolded my husband that morning. I thought how unkind I had been to him the day before. And a thousand ugly things," she said, "cropped up before me. Those things that I had done against my husband and complaining against him." She said, "You know, I just wondered if God had sent the tramp along, if truly he were right, that my husband didn't stay home because of my attitude toward him." And she said, "From that moment, when I got down on my knees and I asked God to forgive me and thank God for the tramp, and from that day, I've had a different attitude toward other people and toward my husband, and my home and my life have been happy since that day." Well, what about your life? What about your attitudes toward others? If you do not have the right attitude, you cannot be happy. The next woman I'm going to tell you about never met that tramp. It seems that she and her husband were traveling on the train. And she complained about everything that happened. The people around her, the temperature in the train, the food, the coffee, everything. Nothing was right. And the man sitting across the aisle engaged the husband in a conversation. And finally, the husband said to him, "Sir, you'll have to pardon my wife. In reality, she's a very enterprising person. In fact, she's a manufacturer." "Oh, she is," the man said. "And what does she manufacture?" And the husband, in whispered tones, said, "Unhappiness. She manufactures her own special brand of unhappiness." My friend, if you have the wrong attitude toward things, things will never seem exactly right. If you look down your nose at things, they'll have the wrong slant. If you have the wrong attitude toward people, it will register in their feelings toward you. And by the way, don't you go around with a chip on your shoulder. Somebody might think it came off your head. Most people, my friend, will be just about what you expect of them. Now, there are exceptions. There are some people who are cantankerous. They're just repulsive. They're unlovable and unlikable. And the Apostle Paul allows for these. Remember, he said in Romans 13:18, "If it be possible, as much as is in you, live peaceably with all men." If it be possible. Now, there are some people who are impossible. But Jesus said, we ought to love one another, even our enemies. Jesus said we ought to go the second mile. Jesus said we ought to turn the other cheek. Jesus said we ought to do unto others as we would have them to do unto us. When we adopt these attitudes, when we have the Christ philosophy working in our lives, the world will begin to look different, and people will begin to act differently toward us. I repeat, happiness is determined by your attitude toward others. In the second place, happiness depends on your ability to be content with what God has given you. Paul said in Philippians 4:11, "I have learned in whatsoever state I find myself therewith to be content." Notice Paul said, I have learned. Some things do not come automatically. Some things you must learn in the midst of dire circumstances. You must learn to be happy. You know, there are many people who think they would be happy if they just had everything they wanted. You know, money in the bank and cattle out west and all wells pumping. But you know, some people wouldn't be happy if they had a dozen oil wells pumping in the backyard. Why, they'd be afraid that some of it would splatter against the house. You see, happiness is not in getting what you want. Happiness is in wanting what you get. Let me repeat that on instant replay. Happiness is not in getting what you want. Happiness is found in wanting what you get. Abraham Lincoln once said, and I quote, most people are about as happy as they make up their mind to be. And I believe that's true. Your mental attitude and your approach to what you have in life will determine whether or not you're going to be happy. One day a man came to Jesus and said to him, Master, I want you to speak to my brother. We've had an inheritance fall to us, and my brother is determined not to divide it with me. And Jesus gave that man a word that should mean something to all of us in this day of materialism, in this day of greed and selfishness, and grasping for everything. Jesus said, wait just a minute. Beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. In other words, happiness is not found in money and gold and silver and materials. Happiness goes far beyond that. These things of the material realm in life cannot make one happy. In fact, some of the saddest people on earth today are the people who have the most and who are grabbing for more. I recall growing up, and in my father's home, there were 9 of us children, and we were poor people by the standards of the world. And we didn't have all of the things that we desired. We had the necessities of life, but we had to use hand-me-downs, and we knew what it was to go without. But you know, my friend, we were happy. We were happy because Christ was in the home. And Christ was in our hearts. And I want to tell you today, in the midst of the economic crisis, the fuel crisis, the governmental problems and difficulties that we face, you can be happy with Jesus Christ in your heart and in your life and in your home. Someone has said that happiness consists of 3 things, basically. Number 1, happiness consists of someone to love. Number 2, happiness consists in something to do. And 3, happiness consists in something to hope for. And I've come to tell you today, and I do so unapologetically and unhesitatingly, that the believer, the born-again one, the child of God, the Christian, has all 3 of these. Someone to love? Yes, we have Christ. Something to do? Yes, we do His bidding. We are engaged in His work and in His service. And something to hope for? Oh, yes, my beloved friend, we have everything to hope for. We have heaven to hope for. And nothing could be greater than the hope that we have of one day being with Christ in the world above. Yes, your happiness will depend upon your ability to be content with what God has given you. Now, in the third place, happiness comes to those who put God first in their lives. We're living in an age of anxiety. Our brokers are anxious. Our bankers are anxious. Our bakers are anxious. Everybody is anxious. Congressmen are anxious. The president is anxious. Our mayors of the big cities are anxious. Our governors are anxious. Our citizens are anxious. This is an age of anxiety. It's an age of fear. But I've come to tell you today that there is a cure for the anxiety in our nation and for the anxiety in your life. Listen to it. I found it in the Word of God. It is written in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Paul writes, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." That is the answer. There's the cure for all the anxiety that's in your heart and in your life today. The secret comes in putting God first. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, "Take no thought for tomorrow, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, or how ye shall be clothed. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But," Jesus said, "seek ye first." Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things, food and clothing and shelter and all the necessities of life, will be added unto you. I repeat, the secret is in seeking God first. And you must put God first in your finances. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 3, verses 9 and 10, "Honor the Lord with thy substance, and with the first fruits of all thine increase, and it shall be well with thee. And thy barns shall be breaking open," the wise Solomon says, "and thy presses shall burst forth with wine." Honoring Christ first in your finances. And then you must put Christ first in your family. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 37 and 38, Jesus said, "He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." Beloved, God must be first in your family. And you know, God must be first in your future. James said in his 5th chapter, "Wait just a moment. Don't say you're going to go to a city tomorrow and live a year and get rich, but say, if God be willing." In other words, include God in your move, in your plan, in your job change, in everything you do. Put God first in your future, and God will bring you happiness when you do. I have this footnote, and I shall be through. Happiness is determined by the destiny you choose. And you do choose your destiny. God has put before you life and death. You must choose today. You must decide whether or not you want Christ, whether or not you want heaven, and whether or not you want happiness. Happiness can be yours by choosing the right destiny for your soul. You can do it right now. Simply pray the sinner's prayer. "God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and save me." And God will do it. And I will guarantee you this. You will be happy in the abundant life with Jesus Christ as your Savior. As we leave the broadcast, may I remind you once again, it would be our joy to have you come and visit Worth Baptist Church today. Remember our location, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Our Sunday school beginning at 10 o'clock, our Sunday morning worship hour at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour at 7. Don't forget, this is Radio Anniversary Month. If you'd like today's broadcast on cassette tape, or you would like one of the books entitled "Look Up, Christian, Christ is Coming," all you have to do is write to Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. So until next Lord's Day at this same time, we wish you well and the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And, as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.